All right, hello. My name is Johan Gullmer, and I work at CSC IT Center for Science for Finland, which is a non-profit under sort of the Finnish government, and we do managed hosting for HIP, or Helsinki Institute of Physics. Last HEPIX, I spoke some about some hardware issues we had with some HP boxes. This will be the theme also of this time, but some different kind of error. As a background, this is sort of the hardware that we have, the HP SL4510, and the machine that I'll be that we had issues on. It's providing storage for Alice or for the Alice experiment, and the NGGF is sort of managing and doing the decache part. So I will be speaking about this sort of to share our thought process during the problem, but it's mostly as a server admin point of view then. Importantly then, the RAID configuration there is quite large, number of disks in the RAID 6s. So on a Sunday, three disks decided to disappear at the same time, and the file system consequently shut down. I wasn't doing anything at that time, so it wasn't my fault, at least. Monday morning, NDGF started to drain the working file systems or pools onto other servers' machines. We opened a case with HP. First reaction was, let's replace three disks. But at this point, we hadn't even restarted the machine. So my hope at that point was that maybe a restart and they will come back. But we didn't do that yet. We waited until Thursday when the pools had been drained. In the meantime, I wrote this sort of Python parser of the HP ADU reports, which is it's a great source of information. They have performance and error counters of many things behind the smart array controllers. So we could then compare if there was one counter which was increasing to sort of see maybe this hardware replacement actually solved the issue or not. Back to Thursday, then the reboot, we had to re-enable the logical drives in the array. And then we could easily mount the XFS file system, and we could start to then drain the pool. Unfortunately, the next day, three other disks failed. They disappeared. Kind of the controller couldn't see them anymore. Some sort of nasty XFS message there. Fast forward to Monday, reboot, re-enable. But this time, the file system didn't mount anymore. We had to run XFS repair. And this time, just to be sort of safe, we mounted the file system read-only, so we could then rsync the files to a separate file system on the machine. On the Tuesday, then finally, HP had managed to find the spare parts. This was a week later. They came to replace an I/O module and some cables. The I/O module sits between the controller and the disk backplane. The counter we were seeing, which was error counter we were seeing, which was increasing on all the disks or some of the disks in the server. It was called bus faults, and the counter did not stop increasing after this replacement. Friday, the rsync was done. We tried to then start the decache pool from this new location, but probably in the previous failure, then the metadata had gotten corrupted of decache stores metadata about the files. But fortunately, one could just remove this directory and the pool will fetch the metadata file names and so on from the central instance. And on the same day, HP replaced the controller. After a day or two, all the metadata was fetched. And on Monday, we no longer saw any of these bus faults. And then we just simply scrapped everything and recreated the arrays. As a summary, then this machine, it had, or the file system had 1.2 million files, and only 8 were lost. And they were being written to at the time of when these disks disappeared. So I'm quite happy with the failure handling, actually. It's not a very nice issue, but it handled it quite nicely. And one result of this is we got some more experience of handling this sort of RAID issues. And another was this Nagios check I wrote through to. So we now regularly, once a week, run these ADU reports to see if we're stumbling into these issues again. There's a URL. That. All right, on to the next. Then, let's see now, maybe 3 weeks ago, beginning of April, we decided to move this rack, the one rack we have for HIP, to another data center a few hundred meters away. Quite heavy, but we got someone to do it for us, and they moved the whole rack with all the disks. I think it's roughly around 2 petabytes in this one rack. We asked HP if there was some warranty questions, like if the servers were under warranty while we moved, and their answer, of course, was no. You have to pay for this. Maybe if we wouldn't have asked, it would have been fine. But now we had our backs covered, at least. In the last HEPIX I mentioned, we upgraded our external connectivity for this storage to 2x10 gig. They also had a 1 10 giga. They had a 10 gigabit link to the university, which we put the dcache traffic on. And we did this by static routing, DNS overrides, dual interfaces. But at some point in October, this stopped working for some reason. This coincided with some other network changes and changing to use GFAL2 instead of, I don't know, some other, maybe ARC. Anyway, it's not quite clear why it broke. Anyway, the university network people, they didn't complain when all this traffic went over and through the firewalls. So now when we moved the rack, we no longer connected this extra optical private network. So this will simplify at least my job in terms of troubleshooting quite much. Right, during winter, I also tried out the new Ceph backend for dcache pools. After a few bug reports and fixes by the dcache developers, it's working. The basic functionality was the only thing I tested to help them a little bit. Unfortunately, it won't really work for us because the CSE Ceph internal network is very tightly coupled with the OpenStack, and they don't want to redesign the network architecture or let the dcache pool servers into there. So maybe if there is some other object storage, or maybe we could just skip the dcache, but for now we're quite happy with the dcache. I also been part of the Finnish grid and infrastructure and cloud infrastructure, and as part of this we maintain some Ansible roles relating to the grid. One is the CVMFS role, which, thanks to Ian Allison, sent a pull request. Very happy about that. So it now works a bit better on Debian-based distributions. We also run a, or maintain a Slurm role, which now has better support for Slurm in high availability, meaning backup controllers and so on. And it also now supports using the Ansible free strategy, where it doesn't wait for every node to complete the task before it goes on to the next. And I learned about the Ceph utility in Slurm, which I'm a big fan of. It you give it a job ID, and it will tell you how much resources you used compared to how much you reserved. And using the SML wrapper, then when your job completes, then you get an email. So this is, I think, it's quite excellent for the users and us. Also part of the grid, the FGI, we abuse Grafana, InfluxDB to run to have this sort of dashboard showing how the Ansible pool cron jobs are doing. When the cron jobs run to configure the machine, they report how long it took and if it went fine or not. And this is quite a nice Grafana heat map plugin to sort of illustrate how the whole grid is doing, and it's quite easy to set up too. Yeah, some of the tools used for that. How am I doing on time? Good. yeah, well, I guess that was it then. Thank you.
Any question? Yeah.
You mentioned using Ansible. Do you use Ansible for your entire data center or just for small throwaway things?
The whole Finnish grid is then configured with Ansible.
And how do you cope with errors and error handling when nodes are down, since it's a push-based system?
This is the nodes are configured in a pool-based system or a method, and yeah, if Ansible pool fails when it runs, then it will keep on failing every time, right? So then we get a red blinker in there, or depending on the failure, it might also take itself out in from the batch job scheduler.
More question? No more question? Okay, thanks.